So today's message, we will touch a little bit on replacement theology, but the name of today's message is Acts of the Emissaries of Yeshua, the Message, or simplified, the Book of Acts. And so with that, what does an emissary mean? I know some of your translations, it says the Acts of the Apostles, all right? An emissary is a sent one. A person or an agent sent on a mission, especially sometimes of secret in nature. What is ACT? ACT means this, to set in motion, performing services as though those of an official. The message, what is the message? The message is the kingdom of God. Why did Yeshua come? But to lead us into the Father's presence. But he had to die upon the tree to make that accessible for us to go there. So now, a little bit of historical background. As I dealt with in the book of Matthew, I gave you a brief synopsis before we began. Well, as we go now into the book of Acts, who wrote this book? Luke. Now, does this name sound Hebrew? Absolutely not. Mark. Is that a Hebrew name? No. But what we are given as Jewish people is this, whatever culture we're in, like in the English culture, for myself, my English name is Frank. My Hebrew name is Ephraim. That was the name that I was given on my Brit Milah when I became a son of the covenant, all right? And so we know this when we look at the book of Mark. You'll read in the scripture where he's referred to as John Mark, all right? And so with that, if we had Matthew, and then Yohanan, Mark, the second book, and then Luke, the third book, and then Yohanan, the fourth book, it'd be kind of confusing, right? And so by the Spirit of the living God impressed upon Mark to put his Greek name, Marcus. Okay? Luke is not Luke, it is Lucas, all right? And so with that, we see that this was his Greek name, all right? So now going forward here, if we would turn to the introduction of Luke, because that's where we have to start, because this is where he's being introduced, all right? Although there is disagreement about this, Luke was more likely a Jew. And for some people, you know what they say? How can you say that? Well, think of it from this context. All Hebrew scripture, all right? And some people say, well, that you're talking about the Tanakh. No, I'm not. I'm talking both about the Tanakh and the Brit Hadashah, yeah. Okay? When Yeshua called the 12, they were 12 apostles. Of what heritage were they? They were all Jewish, okay? So now let's move forward here, all right? He displays, this is Dr. David Stearns, a detailed understanding of the Hebrew scriptures, as well as expressing an understanding of the God-fearers, who were Gentiles who attended synagogue and lived their lives informed by Judaism, but did not convert. Moreover, he addressed both his gospel and Acts to a Hebrew priest. Now, this is going to blow everyone's mind. Because when you think and you hear the name Theophilus, that's a Greek name, right? But as I've just explained to you earlier, Theophilus was this priest's Greek name. The scripture doesn't reveal to us his Hebrew name, all right? And so what's going on here is that Yeshua has been just, what, crucified. His 12 disciples, one has committed suicide, and the 11 are now alive, and they're in fear for their lives. And when was the gospel Luke written? But 27 years after Yeshua had died and rose from the dead. This is approximately 60 common era time, okay? And so with that, Luke is gaining this information because he was not one of the original 12. from those that were living at that time. Just as we heard in our messianic moment that Noah was living at the same time that Father Abraham was living. Okay? So Luke, Kepha, Peter, Yohanan, and the rest of 11 were alive at this time. And so when Luke went out there, and notice this, this letter is written. Ever looked at that? Of all the four good news, this is the only one, Luke, where the writer says this, "Dear Theophilus," an individual. And if you would go to Acts 1:1, how does that start out? With the same address, "Dear Theophilus." Okay? So now let us go back here to the introduction by Dr. David Stern. Luke addressed both his gospel, Acts, and Acts to a Hebrew priest named Theophilus. If Luke were not a Jew, this would not make any sense. So turn with me now to Acts 1:1. And let us begin. Acts 1:1. And it says these two words. Just as the gospel Luke started out. "Dear Theophilus." Now, what does the word Theophilus mean? His name. He's loved of God or favored of God. Okay? And I go on to present this to you. He is a messianic believer that Luke, the writer of the good news of Luke, sent his first book, The Good News of Yeshua the Messiah, as reported by Luke. Now, here's some commentary on "Dear Theophilus." Until recently, theologians thought that Theophilus was a represent member of the Roman government, or that the name Theophilus, meaning "dear to God," was a pseudonym for a Gentile official whom Luke desired to see the gospel more favorably. Yet, as supported by Josephus, his Antiquities, 17, pages 78, 164 through 65, and as seen by archaeological evidence found among the Herodian mansions in the Jewish quarter of Jerusalem, Theophilus was a high priest that served in Jerusalem from 37 to 41 Common Era, 4 years after Yeshua had died and rose from the dead. Now remember this. When is the gospel Luke being written? But in 60 Common Era. So let's go on. This is significant in that Luke begins and ends the gospel accounts with references to the temple. Dr. David Stern got this from Barag, B-A-R-G, and Flusher, pages 39 through 44. Luke writes in the early 60s Common Era to reassure Theophilus, a Cohen, a Levite, a high priest, that, and thus socially significant figure of the things that he's learned. Luke shows him that all along God has made a plan to include Gentiles, that they were supposed to be part of the fold, that they were supposed to be grafted in. Although the gospel Luke was originally written to an individual, or at least dictated to him, in time it was circulated to others as a presentation of Yeshua and his ministry. And think about this, if you will. If Luke was a Gentile and he's giving a report to a former high priest of Israel, whose name, Greek's name is Theophilus, and he reads this, what likely is he to do but to take that and have it ordered to be burned? And what about the second book, Acts, when it was addressed and sent directly to this Theophilus? If he was not, his heart warmed? Because remember this, Theophilus was there during Pesach when he saw the earth become dark from noon till 3 in the afternoon. He saw the earthquakes. He knew all these things. It was undeniable to him. And you know what? The Pharisees had one up on those who were the Sadducees, the Zadukim, because they did not believe in the resurrection of the dead. But when Yeshua rose from the dead, prior from his raising from the dead, as I shared earlier in Matthew's gospel, chapter 28, it says that those righteous Jews that were in the tombs, they also raised up. And then after the third day, they walked out throughout Jerusalem and they gave testimony. Think of what the Sadducees did. They ran and they hid. Why? Because their theology had been shown as being false. So let's now move forward here. So there is something here for you to consider. Thus, we can now see the evidence of the good news of Luke and Acts of the emissaries of Yeshua, the message, now both surviving to our day. Can we acknowledge that? In your book, in your Bible, there's the copy of Luke, the good news, and also the book of Acts, all right? So now moving forward. This gives credence to the testimony of Theophilus, a Jewish Cohen high priest, coming to put his trust in Yeshua as being the Messiah. Otherwise, Theophilus, the Jewish high priest, would have ordered both the good news of Luke and Acts of the emissaries of Yeshua's messages then to be burned. Now, Luke's major concern in his gospel is to present Yeshua in the kingdom program of God fulfilling his promises made long ago. See, this is, you cannot separate the Brit Hadashah, the New Testament, from the Tanakh. It's the Jewish prophets and the Jewish apostles that delivered the scriptures to us. So now let's move forward. In the ancient world, it was not what was new that was important in religion. Isn't it backwards today? Because there's all these brand new revelations. People are being transported up to heaven, and they're giving God, they're slapping Abba Father and giving him high fives on his throne, and they're coming back again. Crazy stuff. People are prophesying that has no biblical roots or foundation. There's a lot of crazy stuff going on. But what are we to be moved by? Paul warned us. He said, if any angel come to you and preach you another gospel, count it as anathema. We're to go by what the Word of God says, not by some prophets. Because to trust a one, whether one is a true prophet of God or not, you have to go and meditate upon the Scriptures. God's word builds upon God's word. He does not teach in error. And to know whether or not someone is a prophet of God or an apostle of God, they teach upon the teachings that have already been put in place. They may bring more light to it in Revelation, but they don't bring brand new things in. So continuing here. I have to repeat this. In the ancient world, it was not what was new that was important in religion, but what was tested by time. Luke argues that although that Yeshua movement seemed new, it actually fulfilled the promises of Abba, Father God, made to Abraham. Luke highlights the continuity between the promises of the Hebrew Scriptures and what took place through Yeshua. In Acts, his sequel volume, Luke shows how the ancient plan promised the inclusion of all Gentiles, all the nations. And as we go through the book of Acts, we'll be seeing that. Because for anyone to be grafted in to the spiritual covenant of Israel was seen by most Jewish people as not being available. But if you read the scriptures, Rahab, she was grafted in. and many others were. So let us continue here. In the Gospel of Luke, there is far less discussion on legal matters in the Gospel of Luke than in Matthew and Yohanan. But the opposition Yeshua faced from certain Pershim who were Pharisees and other key Jewish leaders is treated in some detail. Luke highlights how Yeshua repeatedly urged those who oppressed him to take note how Abba, Father God, was working through him. Continuing, before we go back to Acts, let us hear the words that Luke addressed to Theophilus. Turn now with me to the good news of Yeshua, Messiah, as reported by Luke. Luke chapter 1, verse 1. And you'll see how these two books blend together. And that's why Luke was inspired to send the first letter to Theophilus, a man of influence, a man who had been warmed to Yeshua's teaching. Let us begin. Dear Theophilus, concerning the matters that have taken place among us. What is he referring to? Luke was in the vicinity of what was going on at this time. He was in Jerusalem. Continuing. Many people have undertaken to draw up accounts. There's a lot of people writing about this. Okay? Pilate, there's a historical record that Pilate wrote of these times. If you ever read Josephus, he records about Yeshua and him dying upon the tree. He records all these things. So these are historically facts. But Luke is inspired by the Spirit of Living God to give an account to this man, Theophilus, who has sway in the Jewish community. Verse 2, based on what was handed down to us by those who from the start were eyewitnesses, proclaimers. Who are they? But the emissaries. The surviving 11 of the message of what? The kingdom of God. 1:3 in Luke. Therefore, your excellency. I have problems saying that word. Excellency. Thank you. Since I've carefully investigated all these things from the beginning, it seemed good to me that I should write to you an accurate, ordered narrative. You know, there are a lot of people that come into the kingdom. When they read through Matthew, there's some things in there are confusing. Why? Because it's written to Jewish people. All right? They read Mark. It's a little confusing. They read about John. He's talking about the Spirit and the Word. It's very, very confusing. But Luke gives a chronological ordered account of what took place. So continuing here. Verse 4. So that you might know how well-founded are the things about which you have been taught. Now think about this. If Luke is a Gentile, And he's now teaching a high priest, who is Theophilus. Would Theophilus even listen to him? Absolutely not. Why? Because he's not a co-equal with him. And he's not part of the fold. Okay? And Luke has expertise in Judaism. He was a practitioner of Judaism. Nowhere in the book of Acts do you see where Luke came to acknowledge Yeshua as his Messiah. So he came to know Messiah from the time that Yeshua died and rose from the dead to the writing of the Gospel of Luke. So let's go forward here now. So who's now doing the teaching? Luke, all right? Who is similar in status to Cohen, the priest, Theophilus. If Luke was simply a Gentile, Theophilus would not receive anything from Luke that had to do with Yeshua or Judaism. Why? Because he's from the outside. He's not part of the family. He doesn't understand. So continuing here. Let us now turn the book of Acts of the emissaries of Yeshua the Messiah. Let us begin in Acts 1:1. You may be asking, why are you going through all this detail? Because these foundations have to be set for us to understand what truly what is going on here. And as I did research and study, there's very, very little bit about Luke. It says that he's a physician, all right? But it was during the time, the period that replacement theology began to be birthed, that some church fathers who sided on replacement theology came up with the idea, well, his name is Luke, he has to be Greek, and he's a physician. And this guy he's writing to, Theophilus, that's a Greek name, but they did not have the Hebraic mindset or the cultural understanding. What is Rav Shaul's Greek name? Paul. All right? That's correct.
Luke is probably his Roman name.
That's right. Lucas. And Mark the same. And so with all these things, we see this. All right? And why would God all of a sudden stop? You know, all the prophets are Jewish. And all the apostles are Jewish. It's all one Jewish book. Because what nation was chosen to be a light to the nations? The Jewish nation. Not knocking any other nation upon the earth. That's how God has ordained it. And you see, once the thought of Luke being a Greek was introduced by these early church fathers, because if you do a study on the Nicene Council, when they came and they wrote that beautiful document, none of the Messianic Jewish bishops were even allowed to come. Why? Because they wanted to take away what was being preached at that time. If you celebrate the feast of the Jews, not the feast of the Lord, you were not to receive communion, and you were an outcast of that local congregation. That's what was going on. And that's what we have to deal with right now. This was what was happening. And Hasatan was sowing the seeds of separation of Messianic Gentile and Messianic Jew to go their separate ways. And that's where we find us up today. And you know what's beautiful? If you look at most Messianic congregations, there's a blend of both Jews and Gentiles within the congregation. And God ordains how many are going to be there. We are all one in Messiah. God chose before the foundation of the earth what family you would be born, whether you'd be male or female. He knew you by name. You're precious in his sight. So don't let the enemy lie to you that if you are grafted in, you're less loved in God's eyes. That is not true. So let's move forward. Dear Theophilus, verse 2, after giving instructions through the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, to the emissaries, the apostles, whom he had chosen, he was taken up to heaven. Who's the him? But Yeshua. After Yeshua's death, he showed himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. We went through that, did we not? When we went through the death and resurrection of Messiah. During a period of 40 days, they saw him, and they spoke with him about the kingdom of God. All right? Verse 4. At one of these gatherings, he instructed them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which you have heard from me. This was a revelation from the prophet, whose name happened to be Yeshua, to the 11 surviving emissaries who were apostles. Acts 1:5. For Yohanan used people in water. Now, is this Yohanan, Yaakov's brother? No, this is Yohanan, Yeshua's cousin, who was a Levite, who leapt in his mother's womb when Miriam came near, who was with child Yeshua. He worshiped before he was even born. How precious is every child before it's even born? That the Spirit of the living God could come upon that child even before it's born and give them full understanding that it would leap within its mother's womb to worship its Savior that is yet to be born, that is not formed and developed as much as Yohanan was in his mother's womb. Abortion is murder, and God will judge. God will show mercy, but he shall judge. Let's move forward. For Yohanan used to immerse people in water. Why did he stop? Because he said to King Herod, you've married your brother's wife and taken her as your own. And he was seized, he was put in prison, and later he was beheaded. That's why he stopped immersing people in water. Baptism, that's a Jewish thing. Continuing here. But in a few days, you will be immersed in the Ruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of the living God. When they were together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore self-rule to Israel? Now think about this from their perspective. He had risen Lazarus from the dead some 40-plus days earlier. Okay? He also died, and he also rose from the dead. And it was the power of his Spirit that raised those righteous Jewish people that were in their tombs from the dead. Who can stand before this man? No one. That's what's going on in their minds. And biblically, they were correct, because they did not understand there were dispensations, that this was Yeshua ben Yosef, the suffering servant, and that later he'd come back as Yeshua ben David, the Mashiach, the king of Israel. And so their question was legitimate. But let's see what Yeshua answers them. Verse 7. He answered, you do not know need to know the dates or the time. The Father has kept these under his own authority. You know, there are things in Scripture that I got to know. And I plead before the Lord. I ask the Spirit of living God to give me revelation so I can understand certain things. You know what the Spirit of living God has said to me from time to time? That's not for you to know right now. Go and do what I've asked you already to do. Leave that alone and simply follow me. When Kepha was reconciled to Yeshua during those 40 days, and Peter just got up one morning and said, hey, I'm going fishing. And the 10 said, yeah, we're going with you. And they headed out, and they were on the lake, and he was at his old occupation, doing his own thing. They didn't catch anything all night. They came in, they saw who but a man with a fire. And he called out to them, have you caught anything? No. He said, well, throw it on the starboard side, your nets. And it says that it came to the point almost breaking the nets. And Kepha realized who that was on the shore. And he leapt and he swam those 100 yards. And when they got in there, he pulled that net full of fish, 150 fish. And after them eating, Because Yeshua asked him, bring some of the fish, some of the fresh fish. Because he already had some fish prepared. And he took him aside. They went on a walk. And he said to him at the very end, he said this, don't worry about John, whether or not he's going to die, when he's going to die. But you simply have to come and follow me. I believe that everyone that's part of the seed of Abraham today, both as a member and a regular attender, are simply here to come to follow Yeshua. You're not following me. You're following Yeshua, and that's why you're here. You're going to fulfill God's call upon your life, and that's what's going to be done. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We're going to stop this message right now. Is this appropriate to stop it right now? I'll continue part 2 next Shabbat.